choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello. My name is Stephen Briggs. I'm chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 165, Complimentary Financial Ball. Now, financial ball is a play on the word football, and I want to talk a little bit of football, and then we're going to talk some finances. And the person I want to talk about to begin this is a guy by the name of Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell is the head coach for the NFL Detroit Lions, a team that this year set a franchise record by finishing the regular season at 15 wins and just 2 losses. Now, I admit, as a born and raised Michigander, who is a diehard Lions fan, even though I moved to Chicagoland over a decade ago, this weekend's performance, losing to the Washington Commanders at home, was a heartbreaker. But there were lessons to be learned from watching it. And some of those, yes, are football lessons, but there's some life stuff in here too. A key phrase that Coach Campbell used all season, and it's part of the title of this episode, it is this concept of the team, the football team, being complementary. And that's C-O-M-P-L-E-M-A-N-T-A-R-Y. So we're not talking about complementary with an I, like we're complementary something, complementing something you wear or that you smell nice. No. C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T-A-R-Y. And what he means is that each aspect of the game and the players responsible for executing it work in harmony with the other aspects and other team members as a result. So things fitting together are complementary. The offense effectively moving the ball towards the goal does a couple of things. That helps the team score points, which is how you win, but it keeps your defenders off the field and resting. And the longer that your offense can stay on, the longer the opposing team's offense is off the field. This gives the defense more confidence, more energy to be able to really attack the opposing team when they try to score points. The defense, on the other side, has the ability to not only prevent points from being scored, but they can cause events called turnovers that give the offense the ball right away. Maybe cause a fumble or an interception, catch a pass that was intended for an offensive player. But either way, you can do things that can cause the offense to be able to come back on the field and potentially score points really easily. So as long as each side of the ball, each part of the team complements each other, you get very positive results. And this season, my goodness, did the Lions get results. They scored 564 points in the regular season, which is the 4th most points ever scored in NFL season history. However, when players are not mentally sharp, they make mistakes. These mistakes take a complementary philosophy and turn it on its head. Instead of the two sides working together, they end up tripping over one another, each side making the other feel off balance. And that's what happened in the Washington game this past weekend. The Lions defense, and granted, they had a ton of starting players injured, but they had enormous difficulty staying mentally sharp against the Washington offense. And so Washington was easily scoring. Because they were easily scoring, the Lions offense had to compromise itself in how it approached playing the game to try to keep up with what the other side was lacking. And the problem with doing that is when you start to force things to happen in life, in football, in finances, but in Lions' case, when you try to force things to happen, that's when mistakes happen more often than not. So the Lions went ahead and didn't just give, you know, one turnover to the Washington Commanders, or two turnovers, or three. They turned the ball over four times. And on those four times, the Commanders scored on three of them. So when you're not earning points and your offense is, in fact, basically handing points over to the other team, this is the absolute opposite, the antithesis of complementary football. And the thing is, if the Commanders weren't given all those opportunities to earn points, and Detroit, their offense were to score points instead, the game would have likely had a different outcome. So you can see how the defense's weakness caused the offense to compromise itself. And instead of these things working in harmony, they were definitely discordant. And when that happens, things kind of spiral. Now, the hard part for me is this: as a Lions fan, the Lions still scored 31 points. And the only team to average more than 31 points in a season was the Detroit Lions. So 31 points on any normal day would have been enough to win most football games. The problem is, when you give that many turnovers, that many additional opportunities for the other team to score points, they're going to score more. And the Commanders scored a lot more. And they won. And it wasn't particularly close the entire game. Now, this is stellar football analysis, but what does this have to do with your finances and your money? I'll tell you what it has to do. We can apply the same philosophy to your finances. When I think about what complements wealth building, the answer that immediately comes to mind for me is career development. When you work and earn money, you're earning resources that can be used not only to build wealth, but to build yourself up to make more money. That could be certifications, that could be training, that could be seeking out new work that pays more, and having the resources to be able to move to that new job. That could be having the resources to start a business. That's what I did with Briggs Financial. Briggs Financial was not my first business. I had part ownership or complete ownership of a couple of other businesses prior to Briggs Financial. Those successes fed into what exists here today. You know, whatever it might be, your career can have the resources, can be a real source of resources needed to, build wealth and vice versa. When you maintain, on the flip side, when you maintain positive cash flow, so you're earning all this money, you can use it to build wealth, you can use it to build more. When you maintain positive cash flow, saving money while responsibly spending, now you give your career self the confidence to perform at a high level. And you don't have to fear that if you lose your job or you have an injury or other unforeseen event, that will be a threat. You don't have to worry about those things being threats in your life, and you can perform your very best. But here's the catch. So while your career can feed into your finances, and your finances can give you confidence to make the most optimal moves with your career, if there is a lack of focus, if you are not mentally sharp, if you make mistakes, your financial offense and your defense no longer complement each other. When you don't work hard on developing yourself professionally, you're risking other people out-competing you. You're risking missing opportunities to earn more and do better. And you're also risking, frankly, in the event of a layoff, being able to secure new work, relevant work in a remotely timely manner. And all of this risks feeding into your personal finances and future opportunities to build wealth. You can have job security for 30 years, but if they're only giving you 2-3% raises, all you're doing is keeping up with inflation. You're not going to improve your quality of life in any meaningful way. When you don't develop yourself and continue to work on professional development, you are risking your ability to build wealth, your ability to go do the things you want to do in life. Your ability to, retire. At, if you're looking to retire at a remotely young age, you may be forfeiting some of that. And you may not even know it. Because it won't show up as necessarily you're being laid off. But it's just simply that it's the sort of silent killer of not having, just silently not having the resources to get where you want to get to. And similarly, when you're not disciplined about your saving and spending, you choose to go to Bali instead of getting that important SHRM certification or that college course or have the seed money for a great business idea you want to work on or the Roth IRA contribution you could have made for that year or the credit card you could have worked to pay off. You're robbing yourself of a couple of things here. You're robbing yourself of the structural financial soundness and peace of mind that having strong finances provides. I'll tell you, a lot of peace of mind in having 6 months, 9 months, a year worth of cash and savings hanging out. A lot of confidence in that. A lot of confidence to invest. A lot of confidence to, make a career move. A lot of confidence that if everything goes to hell in a handbasket in the economy, you're still okay. You're robbing yourself of that if you're not disciplined about your spending and saving. You're robbing yourself of the joy of not having to worry about it. The other thing you're also robbing yourself of are the opportunities having an abundance of resources can provide, even if an adverse event happens like a job loss. One of my greatest successes when I think about the career and work of Briggs Financial up to this point was our response to clients, financial planning clients, during the COVID, beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic and the year that followed. I'll tell you what happened. About 15% or so of our client base got laid off at some point within a year. So within like February, March of 2020, within about a year of that, 15% of our client base lost their jobs. And what's interesting is that you go, okay, they must be, were they restaurant workers? Were they frontline? No. These people were, a lot of them were namely in office jobs in various roles where companies got purchased, number of mergers and acquisitions went through at that time. And so a good chunk of the displacement we saw with our clients had to do with M&A activity, which, by the way, we're expecting a lot more of in the next year or so. But the thing is, if you have, if you have an abundance of resources and you're faced up with a situation like that, yeah, it's disappointing. Yeah, it will be a drain on resources until you find work. But you're not in a position where you have to take just any job. So because the thing is, if you don't have savings, you have, let's say you have a really, relatively specialized skill, but it's going to take, 6 months to a year to find that next job. And you need money right now. You may be bagging groceries. You may be a barista. You may be, flipping burgers or whatever it is. And then trying to apply for things and interview on the side. I think that's enormously challenging. It's physically taxing doing whatever it is you were doing previously. You lose all that time because you have to be on the line making money. Where you could be sitting down thoughtfully writing resumes, cover letters, posts on LinkedIn. You could be networking, career developing. You could be building skills. There are so many things you could be doing instead of being on the line. But you can't do that if you don't have any savings. If you don't have savings, you're just going to have to take whatever job's there and available so you can pay the rent or pay the mortgage and put food on the table. That's what having financial abundance and having good, strong personal finances gives you. It affords you the time. It affords you the bandwidth to not just look for another job, but to look for the next step in your career. And I'll tell you, coming out of that situation, it took most of our clients 6 or 7 months at least to find the next step in their career, not just a job, but what's next beyond this. The smallest pay gain I saw for a client from that was about 15%. And we had a number of clients that had wage growth and position growth in excess of 30%. massive gains, where they make up the time off in a handful of months with how much more they were making at the new job. But the only way you get to do that is if you're in a financially very secure position. Remember, this is complimentary financial ball now. So your savings ends up letting you play offense. Your fiscal responsibility, your ability to spend less than you earn and do smart things with what the difference of that is, allows you to go on the hunt for not just the next job, but a job that's going to move your career forward, that's going to move your income higher. So even when you have resources, even what's perceived as a downside can be an enormous opportunity. And in order for that to happen, you need to have resources. You need to have savings. You need to have investments going. You need to kill that high interest debt. And the only way that happens is if you've been working on your career and building up your earnings, whether that's through promotion, whether that's through new job, new company, whether that's through, frankly, taking on a second job for a while. If you're looking and going, boy, I'm just trying to get the ball rolling and started here, I'll tell you, take on a second job. You'll have more resources. But Stephen, work-life balance. Briggs, work-life balance. I'll tell you, I did not get to this position with work-life balance. Sorry. If I go back 15 years ago, I was 26 years old. And staring down $40,000 of debt, and I had barely any cash on me. And I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, I don't want to be doing this when I was 26. I said, I don't want to be doing this when I'm 36. I don't want to be sitting here grinding out credit card bills 10 years from now. But I was at that time, my base pay at my job at that point was $38,000 a year with bonus, $3,000 bonus. I was making $41,000. Woohoo. Yes, I could sit there and just make my $41,000 and that's my full-time job. And yeah, about a decade later, I'd have everything paid off and then I get to start life. I didn't want to wait 10 years. I didn't want to wait that long to finally get to begin the game. So I said, we're going to have to just work harder. And I did. I worked weekends. Took me 2.5 years working those weekends. I was still not making a ton career-wise. But at that time, just post-recession, I was happy to have a stable full-time gig. But I knew I need the only way I could really move up at that point, with how bad the economy and job prospects and everything were, was to be working in an area that was more hourly and just, like I said, just grind out a couple of jobs for a while. And I did side work for many years on top of whatever my full-time gig was. But that supplementary income was huge, and paying off all that debt fast, over, $42,000 worth of various forms of credit card, medical debt, vehicle debt, in 2.5 years, paid it all off. Dunzo. But that doesn't happen if I just sit there and go, well, I'm just going to work my 40-hour job and be done with it, and then go sit on the couch and watch Netflix 4 hours a night. Sorry. Not going to get there. And the thing is, if you have your finances in order and your career in order, and you want to, this is nothing against hanging out and binging some Netflix, but it has to do with, if you're not where you want to be, but you're also not willing, like if you're where you want to be and things are good and you want to go hang out and watch Netflix, like I'm a big video gamer personally, so go for it, go nuts, have fun. I'm not trying to bemoan fun. However, if you see a problem and you have the ability to solve it, you have the time, you have the whatever, it just comes down to choices at that point. And so whether those choices are, I'll take that extra course, I'll do this, I'll go ahead and put in a couple of job applications a week in some focused positions that I think would be not only a great benefit for me career development-wise, but a great thing potentially financially. If you're not willing to be disciplined about your spending and saving and go, my fun fits inside this size box, and then everything else needs to go either into bills, or frankly, the other way around, save before you spend. I'm going to save 15% of my paycheck and do this and this and this. And only after I save and I pay my bills, I get down to that number. That's a far better way to do that. That's what I have left to have fun with. But being intentional about saving and being intentional about your career. And then life fits around that a bit. I know that for many people listening, you're going to go, whoa, that's kind of backwards. That, you know, people tell me that I get work-life balance and I can have all the things in the world I want. And if I don't, if I don't have those things, it's someone else's fault. And sorry, that's just not true. The balance sheet doesn't check out on that. At some point, if you want more, something is going to have to give to make that happen. You're going to, you know, it's physics. You know, I mean, we get into laws of motion here at that point and talking about inertia. An object at motion tends to stay at motion. An object at rest tends to stay at rest unless acted upon by an unbalanced force. The unbalanced force is you're going to go do something. I'm going to go and update that LinkedIn. I'm going to go and post regularly about my career. I'm going to go and take that course. I'm going to go and I want to right size my saving and my finances. I'm going to go get that second job. I'm going to actually not only budget, but build a lifestyle that makes my spending more sustainable. And I'm going to stick to it. So I have more money in savings so I can go and, you know, defend myself against some of these risks that can come up. But those are all things that are doing. We can all talk about all the things we want to do, but it's actually going out there and doing it and playing complementary financial ball. That you're developing your career to build stronger finances. You act in a prudent manner with what you earn, saving more than you spend to be able to defend yourself so you can get, so that one, you can keep building that career. And two, if that career gets disrupted, you're still okay. And you can look for the next step in your career as opposed to taking whatever job is available that'll just get you by. Because I think it's enormously challenging if you fall into that crack. If you fall into that sort of chasm where you go from your profession and what you've been consistently working to build up, having to dovetail into something entirely unrelated for a half to a third of a pay just to be able to pay the bills, not great. Not impossible to get out of, but I think it's a much tougher climb than being able to spend 6, 7, 8 months focused down, find the next right fit, get that job, and move forward. And hopefully see some increases in compensation and so forth for the effort. So with that, and we're going to come back to this topic periodically this year, I think, but I want you to really think about how you behave with respect to your career, how you behave with respect to your spending and saving and financial decisions, and ask yourself, am I playing complementary financial ball right now? And if these two sides aren't complementing each other and feeding into each other, then it's important that you start thinking about what changes need to happen so that you're playing more complementary ball. Because when you do, you're going to have stronger finances, you're going to have stronger career opportunities, potentially available. And these things all feed together into increasing your chances of having a happy and successful future. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for each and every person listening to this podcast. I want you to have enormous success. I want you to have an amazing life while doing it. But it takes us playing the game differently, and we need to play complementary financial ball to make it happen. I want to thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. Catch all 165 episodes on the Briggs Financial website, BriggsWealth.com. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, although I think Google Podcasts is now YouTube, but we're there. iHeartRadio, we're there as well. So check us out. Thank you so much. Share this with a friend. Share it with a family member. Have an amazing week. Be safe, be well, and we'll catch you with a fresh episode soon. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.